Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. By the way, Governor Christie, Dan, that would be the all-time interview. I'm telling you, Larry Krasner wasn't there last night. Christie wasn't there, but he was on The View today, cautioning the Harris people, don't mess with perfection. Do not do another debate. Donald Trump can't be that bad again. It's one thing, you know, his hatred of Trump now, the whole thing that we've seen. I played just Scaramucci, for example. But it's another to go on The View. So Christie really then is in the Harris camp now, giving Harris his esteemed. And when it comes to debating, I've said it many times, you can despise him, and he is despicable in a lot of ways. He's a charging rhino. That's what he is. He's a bully. And being in the ring with him, though, part of me was saying, I can't stand this guy. The other part was saying, oh, man, nothing's better than this. My God, can you imagine this guy in person, what it'd be like? I'd say 5 or 10 minutes, and it's over the top table here. You know, that's what's happening here. It's that heated with this guy. So saying to Harris, don't do the second debate. Right? Why do that? You had Trump. Nothing great can come from a second debate for Harris. Now, I think Christie, by and large, is saying it accurately. The way that I see it, Trump would do better in another debate. He missed some layups last night, and I've had a lot of listeners. You may not be one of them, but if you want to win, you got to look at reality. There were several moments there. We talked about the fine people one, and there were other moments. It was 3-1. You got to expect that. What do you think? Newt Gingrich is unlikable. I mean, I like Newt Gingrich. He's brilliant, but he's unlikable. But in those moments, he's good. And remember what he did to John King in a debate. Yeah, John, I'm going to answer that. But first, and he went through a whole litany of things, and King looked shriveled up by the end of it. Then he answered the question.
Much too deep a voice for an impression there.
Oh, okay. of who? Gingrich? Oh, yeah. It was... How can Gingrich do that and others just can't seem... And as I said, he's not likable. He comes across in a way that's a little bit out there. But he's able to do that time and time again. Trump could have done that with the fine people thing last night. All right. Coming to your calls, wanted to play you a little bit of Kristi Noem last night, Dan, and I may stop it here at some point. She was impressive, and I asked her about Harris. I asked her about the debate. And she created a stir for the obvious reason. What a Kristi Noem. What's she doing here? I got to tell you, in person, it's a shame what we know in the book. And I don't think you can come back from that. But as far as presenting yourself and as far as composure, presence, and let's face it, just looks, she and Newsom. I mean, you know, politics used to be said to be Hollywood for ugly people. I got to say, I don't care about as a male. Right? You know, Newsom, I saw the hair receding a little bit at one point.
Oh, yeah?
Other than that, I love the giant pompadour. He had a suit that had to be $5,000. And he's got the perpetual tan without being fully tanned that you notice it type of stuff.
Oh, if you live in California, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And standing there in the scrum with him, Hannity was in there too, shaking hands with him. And all was an interesting moment.
Was there any like behind the scenes conversation that you happen to be privy to that you want to reveal?
Of those two? No, that's of any that I heard when I was there. Just in the big room, Dan, during the debate, some of the people around me, ABC and some of these others, not people on air. Well,
so like the reporters for ABC, were they like Mystery Science Theater 3000ing the debate, like laughing to one another? And
there were some of that. Yeah, definitely. But they were laughing. They thought Trump was funny at several remarks when he said about her economic plan. It's so simple. See, spot, run. Remember that line?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. It was a well-delivered line. And when Trump said to her, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, let's go get Biden, wake him up, and we'll go down and we'll sign a bill. We'll get rid of the border crisis.
To finish off, she doesn't have a plan. She copied Biden's plan, and it's like four sentences, like run, spot, run.
They were laughing at stuff. He did have them on that. But when he screamed out the stuff about the animals in Springfield, then it was like, oh, man, here we go. It was gloves were off. Behind the scenes, there's certain protocol with these guys, you know, and I'm an outlier there because they're all alleged journalists.
Was there like a sect between Republicans and Democrats where they're mingling between the two networks? Like, did you have Newsmax mingling with MSNBC reporters?
I didn't see any of that. Newsmax is really on the outs. You know what I mean? I didn't see them doing that. But I did see like the Viveks of the world, you know, saying hello to somebody on the other side.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was there anyone with like opposing views that, you know, you saw that were a little too chummy with each other? And you're like, huh, I never would have thought they'd be friends.
You know what? The problem is, Henry, why you didn't get that last night. As soon as they come into the room, anybody really identifiable or slightly, the scrum around them.
Yeah.
They can't interact. Hannity and Newsom, though, were. Yeah, they were buddies.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a buddy sit. I was right there witnessing that. Well, Hannity wants to get him back on. He was the big get there last night. The one I really would like to have interviewed, though. But I couldn't stop it, Dan. Can you imagine I'm running as he's running the other way? With Josh Shapiro running into the room with this group. It was hysterical. He must have been just right outside the door. He literally was the first one in when the debate was over. He was in there like by 10:40 running into the room. The one that was the biggest that everybody wanted to talk to, but you couldn't, was Robert Kennedy Jr. Here's a little bit of Governor Noem. Then I'm going to go to your calls here and Money Melody. A little bit of Governor Noem. She just comes off the set of Newsmax. And we're talking about Harris. We're talking about how to approach debating her and also how Trump is doing at this point.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us here on Talk Radio 1210. I'm sorry that we're doing this in this manner, but Governor, what's your sense? Have you ever debated, had any crossfire with Kamala Harris?
No, I haven't. I've spoken to her a couple of times, but today the Kamala Harris that's going to show up here will be very different than anybody's ever seen before. If you remember, she stood for socialism, for government control and mandates. She's weakened us overseas. Tonight, I think she's going to try to tell a different story. They've had her hold up for 4 days trying to teach her to be a different person. And I just think President Trump, if he can peel back the layers on anybody, he's going to be able to do that with her tonight.
What's the number one issue? Because we've been tracking in Pennsylvania, where I am, is a huge issue to try to unmask this. But the issue that she hasn't walked back, Governor, is the issue of even migrants getting gender care.
Can you believe that?
The spokesperson didn't walk that back. They walked everything else back.
Yeah.
And you sense that, too. What does that tell you on that issue? And if Trump knows that and prosecutes that, I wouldn't go after a million issues. Something like that and just continue to string it out. She might say, yeah, I still support it.
That's the perfect example of her extreme policies, because she's not even saying that the citizens should get those surgeries, that the government should pay.
Yes.
She's not even saying that people who obey our laws and are good Americans who love this country should get it. She's saying we should take money from Americans and give it to people who've broken federal law to give them a surgery that they've been desiring. So that's the extremeness of her position, and she's got a vice president candidate that she's chosen that's even farther.
I was going to go there next.
Yeah. Farther left.
I don't know about you. This guy sets me off, eating his way across Florida. And you are the perfect person because of the rural nature, the western nature of South Dakota. You're the real deal. I don't see Tim Walz in South Dakota.
You know, Tim, his state borders South Dakota, and he's had thousands of his people live in Minnesota to move to South Dakota the last several years. Since he's been governor, it's been a mass exodus of businesses and companies and families leaving because of his mandates, because of his energy policies, which have driven up the cost of fuel and killed people's ability to provide for their families, and because of his tax policy that's taking more money out of their pockets, and really his agenda. So it's shocking. They don't want to live under that regime. They don't want to live with a dictator like that. They have moved to South Dakota, and we're benefiting from it. We're getting wonderful families that say, I didn't know it could be like this.
Let's talk about South Dakota. You're good enough to do this interview over there, filled up your radio station. And I was told, just ask the governor about South Dakota, what's going on. That'll take quite a bit. Tell us what you're up to.
No, just you know, when President Trump was in office and I was governor, I got to do my job. He trusted me as governor, honored our Constitution, and let me be the decision.
I think it's breaking up, Dan, at that point. So, yeah, Governor Noem was very impressive. I mean, you know what I'm thinking, Dan, the whole time here? Would she have been a good VP choice here? Aside from what came out in her book at that point. I got to say, standing there in the scrum and et cetera, she was very, very good. The most impressive to me last night, though, and I still think the guy is unbelievable at handling these journalists that are just coming at you, Tom Cotton. He is exceptionally good. Very good.
Quick on his feet.
Very good. And he goes right at them without getting ruffled, but being extremely aggressive on the subject matter. Just his stance, just standing there talking. And he's got to be about 6'3 or two, so he's kind of towering over some of these people. I was impressed watching him. RFK Jr. was very good. The voice, of course, is a handicap, big time. It slows him up. He had this, we may play this one tomorrow. I think it's evergreen, with Madeline Dean. She was doing some TV thing, and she claimed the Democrats didn't do anything to go after him to keep him out of the race. Oh, my God. It was stunning. He was a big get there. He made a very compelling get. Look, we're trying mightily to get him on. He made the argument, make America healthy again. He was filled up with that. It was great stuff. Does he move the needle for Trump? Well, slightly. Who has a bigger endorsement value, Dan? It's going to be interesting. I don't know if anybody will ever know. RFK Jr. or Taylor Swift? Who do you say, Dan?
Taylor Swift.
You go with Swift, Henry.
I'll go RFK.
RFK. I'm going RFK just out of spite. I'm not sure.
I don't think my vote would be out of spite, but
yeah.
I think he moves the needle more than Taylor. I don't think people are going to vote because of what Taylor says. I'm in that camp.
Okay.
I'll make the argument that I think there are more unmotivated voters that are going to flock to the polls now because of Taylor Swift than there are undecideds in this election.
I got to rule with Dan on that's my greatest fear. Now, whether they will or not, Dan, you know what it's going to depend on? Does she follow up? In other words, if Swift is out there, does an event with Harris, if there's more of this, then I'm in your camp.
I think it's going to be on Instagram.
I agree with that.
It's all going to be all over social media as we gear up for the election, though. Now that Taylor's in it,
right.
And the thing is, like, she's not winning any new voters. Taylor Swift fans weren't going to vote for a Republican anyway, but they're young. They're not all young. I mean, they're older now, too, but they generally don't vote. And now they're just going to be driven to the polls because their Swifty, you know, fandom really supersedes pretty much everything else in their life.
Well, it's abortion, too. It's those two things co-joined together. That's why, Dan, my theory is this. I'm writing a column. That's why I asked. It tells me even more, and I don't care how many people try to bother me on Twitter, whatever. That's why we need to mail-in ballot more, all-out aggression, because these are people that may not show up on Election Day. Or you are somebody who's 100% or close to it. We don't want Republicans chasing you to make sure you show up and vote. We want to go after, we want to stretch here. We're throwing the ball down the field. We're going after people that favor Trump. They go to the rallies and all, we know this. They even contribute. Then they don't show up and vote. I know people don't believe that. Are there 10,000 of them in Pennsylvania? I bet there are 20 or 25,000. You hear Scott Presler, 30% of hunters. How many of these hunters are really going to vote for Kamala Harris? All right, some, but I think it's relatively minuscule. Truckers, are they voting for Kamala Harris? By and large, not. They're not registered to vote. That's what we have to reach. That's what Swift is doing. She's getting disengaged voters potentially to show up. And Dan, there's a thing on Twitter that shows in one race in which he got involved in, it moved the needle a hair. That's all that's needed here. All right, I don't know how we're going to chart this. How much did RFK move it? How much did Taylor Swift move it? All right. I think she'll do more events. Do we all agree on that, Henry? Think she'll do something?
I don't think she'll do any events. She throws support on Instagram and that's it.
Dan?
I think she does a big concert at some point, some kind of benefit concert. Like, they just had the Kamala concert or Kamala thing that had Manny Patinkin and some other actors, and they keep doing these summits. I think she'll be involved in one of those at some point.
I don't think they can do that. I think she's too big to do that.
And I know who I want to take her on, Marsha Blackburn, because she just despises Marsha Blackburn, of all people. If she does that, she's really risking, Dan, losing fans. Or you don't believe that?
She's from right here.
How many Republicans do you think are supporting Taylor Swift still?
Well, it's the moms and the grandmoms and all that go to the concert with the kid. It's a big deal. Or okay, they're vaguely supportive, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She did start out in the country genre.
We have her with the stylings of Eminem. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, that's a nice hint. It is time right now, though, for
Money and Melody.
That is exactly right. We are playing now for a pair of tickets to Politics and Pints, Don Trump Jr. I'm probably going to open up tomorrow night, you know, let him vent a little bit about last night's debate. That'll be a half hour, Dan. And it will come up for air. And then I'm going to ask him the big question tomorrow night. I don't know the answer. Should the Trump people do another debate? What's his view on that? I think he might answer. And I think he would be in the affirmative by tomorrow night. He's going to be pretty revved up.
Did we get your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've said it the whole show.
Gotcha.
Yes. He should do another debate. There's only a few areas, Dan. All I would try to prep Trump with, first of all, no Laura Loomer. Ever seen that woman? You know, we've had her on once. My God. She was getting off the plane. Can you imagine stuff? She told him to say they're just killing animals in Springfield. That's not a winning hand. Even if there has been some of that. What's a winning hand is the driving recklessly, going crazy, the stuff of being inundated in this town.
Social services.
And that's chaos, Taylor Swift. Trump so far has been good on Taylor Swift. He's just said, I think she'll lose market share. He hasn't gone wild. We'll see. All right. So tickets for tomorrow night, 1210WPHT.com. Dan will be there. Roe coming to this one. A whole bunch of other folks. I'm already seeing the itinerary. Oh, man, it seems like it's going to be a loaded crowd tomorrow night. And we'll take you deep inside with Don Trump Jr. Dan, what's your backstory today?
Yeah, Dom, today, a horrific day, tragic day, 9/11, which spurned a person who was living across the river, happened to be outside and saw the towers collapse and thought to himself that, you know what, we can actually hear from him. I don't want to tell the singer's name, but he said this.
It was really disheartening. I need to do something that actually means something, or my life's going to mean nothing. Just like this cartoon means nothing. Like, it's all going to mean nothing if I don't do something. And it doesn't mean, like, go out there and save the world, because you can't, obviously. But it means, you know, go out there and make some kind of difference.
And that difference he made helped to found a band that is it charted huge in the mid-2000s. Actually, they're probably the kings of the emo phase, Henry. I don't know if you were an emo at any point during your...
I enjoy their music. I didn't go through my emo phase, but I definitely like the music.
So today, Dom, we want to know the name of the band that was founded as a result of 9/11. This gentleman who was working for Cartoon Network at the time, completely reevaluating his life and getting into this music thing and launching a very successful band. Name of the band today, Dom, just a little sampling of a very popular song by them. Take a listen. All right, that's all I want to give him.
All right, yeah. Check in with that, and you made it. You're going to be in the audience tomorrow night with Don Trump Jr. Tickets at 1210WPHT.com. You get in at 855-839-1210. Jump in, be a winner here on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Don Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, playing for a pair of tickets for our big event tomorrow. Huge event, the first huge one of this year, arguably, with Don Trump Jr. Let's hear the clue. All right, and looking for what again, Dan?
Looking for the name of the band today, Dom, that was formed in the wake of 9/11 when the founder wanted to do something new with his life.
Let's go to Jay in Abington on Talk Radio 1210. Jay, good afternoon. What's the name of the band?
That is My Chemical Romance.
All righty. Interesting band name there, to put it mildly, Dan. I don't know if we've ever done band names and why they
seem the weirdest band name that we could find.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so Jay's the winner. Tomorrow night is the big night. You still have your shot, though, to get your tickets, get your book, Letters to Trump. Again, the first half hour tomorrow night with Don Trump Jr. is going to be big around the debate. Will there be a second debate? Then J.D. Vance and also RFK Jr. and just all things Trump, including the shooting and where we go next with that and the book. Big stuff tomorrow night. You want to be there. You want to be part of this, particularly post this. Get your tickets, 1210WPHT.com. We're going to talk with the RNC chairman, Mike Whatley, who I saw there last night running from TV interview to TV interview. Let me take one more caller, though. Carol in Jenkintown, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Carol, good afternoon.
Yep. Hey, Dom, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm really glad to hear you calling out the lies because, you know, there's a guy who wrote a book, Rod Dreher, D-R-E-H-E-R.
Yes.
It's called Live Not by Lies. You know it?
Oh, yeah, I know of Rod. Yep, we've had him on the show.
Okay.
Maybe for that book, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you fight this battle. I mean, these lies, that's propaganda. Joseph Goebbels, you know, you repeat a lie, a big enough lie long enough, people will believe it, you know?
That's why it's so disappointing. Trump didn't jump on that. That would have turned the tenor of the debate. He knows that's debunked thoroughly, misinformation. Snopes even said it. And he could have said, there are two of you there. Are you really journalists that you don't know that? Does ABC stand by what Kamala Harris just said? Are they standing by that factual?
They're part of the lying legacy media.
Well,
right.
But what I'm saying is, if Trump is going to do another debate, that's the type of stuff that he has to say, given the home court advantage to the other side, Carol. So that's what the challenge is. I say do the other debate, maybe a little bit of different debate prep. But he has it in him to do that. And it doesn't have to be vicious on the media, just underlying what's going on here. I mean, that's what you face. Harris being advised by Chris Christie not to do another debate. And the reason is, I don't see how it's possible she'll get away with what she did last night. You got to believe the next debate team, and it won't be Fox probably, will do a little bit better job, more like CNN than David Muir last night. And if they're not, if they're as outrageous, then Trump has to turn his fire that way. What are you worried about by doing another debate? All right, we have Chairman Michael Whatley with us. Saw him last night, the RNC. We'll get an update here in Pennsylvania, but also ask him his takeaways from the debate last night. He's in the on-deck circle, and we'll get an answer for 9/11. That emotion that we've been talking about all day, get your name in the winner's circle. Hey, how are your cholesterol levels? Managing healthy cholesterol is key to a strong heart and overall wellness. For over 38 years, Rescue Natural Supplements has been a trusted ally in helping people reach their cholesterol goals. I've counted on Rescue for years, and with good reason. Their range of supplements is designed to meet your specific needs, from omega-3s to red yeast rice and more. Take charge of your heart health today. Use the code DROP at checkout, D-R-O-P, to double your order on any cholesterol product for free. Call them at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use the code online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Remember, use that code DROP. You get buy one, get one free on Rescue Cholesterol products. Double up your cholesterol support today. Use the code DROP. D-R-O-P at res-q.com. Okay, it is Dom time. Big issues, big guests, and we'll get an answer on the side question. RNC Chairman Michael Whatley here in Philadelphia last night. Saw him as he was rushing from TV interview to TV interview. He joins us to tell us what happens next. Chairman, welcome back in, and I guess your biggest takeaway from last night first.
Look, I think it was a great night for Donald Trump because he was the only candidate on that stage who actually talked about what he's going to do to help every American family, what he's going to do to help every Pennsylvania family. You know, he's the one that wanted to talk about inflation and his plan for bringing it down, for lowering the cost of groceries and gasoline and housing. He's the only one that wanted to talk about the southern border, the invasion. And I totally understand why Kamala Harris, the border czar, didn't want to talk about the 94 actions that she took, you know, to dismantle the most secure southern border that we've ever had and allow 10 million illegal immigrants to come across, bringing in the scourge of fentanyl and migrant crime. And, of course, he was the only candidate that wanted to talk about making America strong, about making sure that we're able to protect our interests at home and abroad. So there's a lot going on with that debate. But what I think was most striking was Kamala Harris doing everything she could to deflect and dodge and not answer a single substantive question regarding her record or her vision for America.
Would it surprise you with listeners, too? They see the bias of ABC News, the biggest, the very fine people, a situation, but that they're also disappointed President Trump was not able to address that, calling out David Muir and the colleague there, saying that has been thoroughly debunked. There were zero on Kamala Harris, but we need more of the president to do that. And Chairman, that leads to what's the feeling? Give us any of the back and forth, up and down on a second debate now.
Well, look, I think we would love to have a conversation about a second debate, but it can't be run like this one was. You know, it was 3-on-1. What we saw from ABC was an absolute disgrace, where we had basically the two moderators were going after the president, hammer and tong, just as hard as Kamala was. You know, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, we had a debate on CNN, and they had an opportunity to play it straight. They had an opportunity to run a fair, clean debate, and they did. They did a great job, and I think that America public was served by being able to watch that encounter. That did not happen here. We're not ever going to put, you know, the president or any other Republican candidate in a line of fire like that, where the moderators just cannot come at this and be fair.
All right. So what would that mean then? Well, what is it that's happening? The process? Is it CBS that would be next up?
I'm going to defer to the president and his team in terms of any of those negotiations. But what I can say is that, you know, last night we saw a 3-on-1 debate, and Donald Trump still was the only candidate talking about the issues that the American voters really care about. You know, in poll after poll, the number one issue for Pennsylvania voters, for American voters, is the inflation that they're having to deal with, high gasoline, high grocery, and high housing prices. They asked one question on the economy. Kamala Harris dodged it, and they abruptly moved on. That's not doing a service to any of the voters who really care about their family, care about their communities, or care about their country.
Tough questions, and you can handle it any way you want. We had on Robert Cahaley, Trafalgar polling, who was excellent. He's the one who predicted Trump's win in 2016. I think he's a fan of what the president's done. And he said that Harris last night, some of the claims that Trump made would be very damaging to Harris, but we have to see those proven. For example, what's going on in Springfield, Ohio? We predicted, Chairman, that would come up in the debate last night. It did. But now we have to provide the evidence of this in a compelling way.
Well, the evidence is the fact that you have a town of 60,000 people who has had 20,000 illegal immigrants dropped in their lap. That's the story. ABC, they wanted to hide behind the fact that there was, you know, commentary about whether or not these people are eating animals. But the fact is there are 20,000 illegal immigrants in that town of 60,000 people. That's the story. No wonder ABC wanted to go after the president and talk about a sidelight issue. The fact is that we have 10 million plus illegal immigrants that Kamala Harris has invited into this country. They are giving them free tuition. They're giving them free health care. She wants to give them the right to vote. And this is not sitting well with the American people. And she has completely, utterly failed as the borders are. No wonder they didn't want to go down that road and have a serious conversation about it.
On the abortion issue, again, something else that Cahaley, and I would agree with him, proving this, moving the ball forward. How do we do that? The president was kind of cut off by ABC last night. We never get the answer from Harris, 7th month, 8th month, 9th month. And there have been people like Governor Northam that have said, not even suggested, make the baby comfortable and then discuss and let it die if it survives the abortion. Are we going to see more on bringing that home to people?
Well, I think that conversation is very real and it's very important. You know, President Trump has said from day one that he thinks that we need to defederalize this issue and we need to return it back to the states. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, that's exactly what we did. You know, Kamala Harris comes out and falsely accuses the president of supporting, you know, legislation that would be a permanent ban on abortions, a federal ban. She says that he opposes IVF. Both of those are demonstrably false. You know, that she's going to lie about this issue. And then when she was asked point blank, do you support 7 month, 8 month, 9 month abortions? She dodges and she deflects. She wouldn't answer the question. The fact is, she does. And the, you know, overwhelming percentage of American people agree on reasonable restrictions and reasonable exceptions, right? So the life of the mother, rape and incest, those are things that everybody agrees on, including President Trump. But 75% of the American people oppose abortion on demand through 9 months. That's where Kamala Harris is. She is a radical on this issue, and I do think we need to spend a bit more time talking about it.
Where do people go who want to be involved in the campaign in one way or another?
TrumpForce47.com is our website. They can go, they can sign up and be part of our grassroots army to make phone calls, knock on doors, talk to other voters, and make sure that we get out the vote. And ProtectTheVote.com is where they can go find out how to join our election integrity team and make sure that we're protecting the sanctity of the ballot.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Take care, Dom.
All right. Chairman Michael Whatley here on Talk Radio 1210. So, I wanted to take his temperature on this. I'm not sure if he'd recommend a second debate. I think Harris is the one puffing and saying to do this. Governor Christie is despicable in some ways. As we find him, is right on The View today. He would advise her not to do it. That's why I would advise Trump to push for it. She might evade it. That helps him. Or she might do it. Now, again, what would you put in? I don't think Whatley had an answer here, that we have people like Muir and Davis last night, this bias, 5 times fact-checking, et cetera. Now, one thing you could put in, no fact-checking. I don't know that CBS would agree to that. CBS, though, is hungry for the debate, so they might agree to that. I think they're very hungry for it, so they might be on board with it. Maybe then Harris wouldn't want to do it. But again, the remedy to the fact-checkers, and this is the biggest, the president could even bring it up in this next debate. There's nothing to say that he couldn't in the beginning. Look, I hope tonight, after the first fact check, or even before that, that we're going to see parity here. We're going to, the favorite word of the other side when it comes to fact checking. Because in the last debate, the VP said that I said this stuff in context of very fine people that were racist and white supremacists. That's been thoroughly knocked down. It's misinformation, disinformation. Well, we're not going to talk about that tonight. Well, I'm putting it out there as what I don't want to see tonight. Nobody can stop him from doing that. And it will be interesting to see what the CBS host would do. So I'm even more committed to say, do a second debate. I think Christie's right on this one. She can't do this again. It will not be as good. And I would predict whoever it is that's the second debate is not going to be, it's impossible almost, to be as biased as Davis and Muir were last night. And it gives Trump has a better perspective on now last night of where he missed layups. Good chances here. All right, are you going to try to coast to victory? Or are you going to take her down a little bit more? I agree with Christie. She can't do what she did last night. She can't replicate it for the reasons I gave. Go with a second debate. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. I love this from Drew Dan. It's a great emotion. It's my favorite emotion, maybe. in Upper Darby. That's what we're talking about today, a very powerful emotion based upon a personal experience or an event like 9/11. Drew in Upper Darby. Hey, Drew, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Hey, Don, thank you very much. You know, Don, it was this was an unbelievable moment. It was 2 months exactly after 9/11. November 11th, 2001, was on Veterans Day. A Dominican airliner went down over Long Island, I think Rockaway Beach in Long Island, and the whole world, let alone the United States, collectively held our breath because we didn't know whether it was another terrorist attack. It's like, here we go again. But after investigation, it was determined that it was mechanical failure. But it was so surreal that it was 2 months after to the day on Veterans Day. You know, so that's my moment. Thanks.
And what's the emotion? It's one of my favorite emotions.
It's we were hoping it wasn't terrorists.
The emotion is relief. You know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, get out of here. There's no better emotion than that. You know, you're all worried. You get to, are you kidding me? Get out of here. That's one of the greatest emotions.
Though all those lives were lost, it was still a sad day, but it was a big, huge relief that, you know, that feeling like, here we go again. It wasn't terrorism.
There you go, Drew. I had to pull that one out a little. Yeah, relief is a great emotion. I don't know if it's exactly an emotion. They call it something else. I call it an emotion, though. All right, 855-833.
Right?
Yeah, Dan, it's one of your favorites, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, especially at night.
Yeah, I mean.
pretty good in the morning, too, sometimes.
At midnight last night, Henry, we're going, well, you know, that Scaramucci tape seems a little bit rough. What are we going to do? I'm in the bathroom, can't be disturbed. I'll see you in the morning.
I'm about to get in the shower. You know? Well, you tried calling me. Do you answer calls on the toilet? I don't think that's appropriate.
In emergencies, I wouldn't.
And I wanted to be as...
Would you answer, Henry, if I said this is an emergency?
He's screening a call right now.
He's screening a call. Yeah. He can't be, but yeah, he's dodging that question.
I mean, the thing is, I always like having an open line, you know,
I
wanted to respond quickly, especially then see where they're in the spin room that I was unavailable at that particular
moment. Okay. All right. I'll play you tomorrow. We still have Byron Donalds, who was great. He helped me up on a TV platform. Said, yeah, Dom, you can come up here. Just bend down, jump off in the middle. That's how tight it is for interviews in the spin room. That was a highlight. And Madeline Dean, I wish I had seen that scarf, Dan. Could I say to her, great scarf you're wearing, Congresswoman.
Yeah, why not?
Was it made in China?
Decency.
That would be the line.
Like the bikes.
Unlike the bikes. You knew where I was going. Yeah. Oh, Dan, that would start things off. That's it. All right. I still picture Josh Shapiro running in like he's a football coach to do the event last night, to do the spinning.
I actually have the sound of that happening.
Here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the Chariots of Fire in slow motion, Josh Shapiro.
You know, pumping the arms as he runs into the room.
I got to say, I am slightly surprised at Muir. Davis, I thought, was going to be the one that was doing this, but he was as bad as anything we've seen last night. Would CBS agree not to go with the fact-checking? I don't know. They're hungry to get the debate. Do a second debate. All right, 855-839-1210. It's the lightning round next on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Hey, just for the record, it is still Smokey the Bear, not Smokey Bear. Stop that ad, please. All right, lightning round sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of an exciting C40. Only $369 per month, down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception. No taxes on the C40, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. So visit Cherry Hill Volvo today. All right, you got the side question today. By the way, just in, the Earl of Tacony and Joe of Exton will be at tomorrow night, I believe, Don Trump Jr.'s event. Oh, man, the mystery man, Dan. That'll be as big as any unveiling that we've had. I think we should bring him in, you know, after the opening credits. Yeah, bring him up on stage. Joe, come on up and say hello to us up here. All right, let's go to Bruce in the Northeast. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bruce, what's yours?
Hey, Dom. You know, my answer is the Challenger when it exploded. It was like 1 minute, the whole world was full of, like, hope and promise. And then the next minute, it just exploded in the sky in front of the whole world. You know, it was just a tragedy. Sadness and shock.
Yeah, that is a good one. Picture, they used to push in the TVs, remember, into kids' classrooms.
Right.
The kiddie's sitting there seeing it blow up.
Yeah,
that's a good one, Bruce. Very Thanks. Good. Let's go to Al in Deptford, Talk Radio 1210. All right, Al, what's yours?
Good afternoon, Dom and Dan. I had a good one, Dom. I got interviewed in Melrose the next day after 9/11 by Don Powell at 6 in the morning going to Melrose for breakfast. He goes, what do you think about what happened 9/11? And I said, our President Bush is going to come back strong. So I won the retribution. And then it came on the news, Scott Palmer. I would have never knew. My friends called me and said, Al, you was on TV 9 in the morning with Scott Palmer, America Under Attack.
So, good stuff. Thank you, Al. That's a good one. Dan, who are some of the contenders in your mind today?
Today we have Bruce, who had a great call there with the Challenger. The one that really stands out to me personally, Drew in Upper Darby, Veterans Day 2001, because we often forget that that happened just a couple months after 9/11.
Relief.
There's just such a sense of relief.
All right, we'll do it again tomorrow. Drew goes into the hat. The Richie Always Show is next. Don't forget, Don Trump Jr. Tomorrow, people streaming over there. Get your tickets, 1210WPHT.com.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.